You're listening to Scopes Monkey Choir. Music in a rational universe.
Scopes Monkey Choir.
Episode 66.
66.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Hai Ting.
Yes, you're in a little trouble remembering your name there.
So much is happening.
So this is kind of a little Scopes Monkey special report here.
Do I do dee 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 dee? Or
oh,
is it more special?
Well, you, yeah.
This is more special.
Something like that. Was that Star Trek?
No, I was just making up a random news special report theme, but that was just nothing like it.
Blather. This is kind of a special report because I'm kind of excited.
Are we going to have to pay royalties on that?
No, because what's happening is that we are witnessing, more or less in real time, the birth, or perhaps we should say the rebirth, of an urban legend. And it has to do with sound, which means we get to talk about it. So,
and we're recording on Friday, so the SGU can't scoop us on this one this time.
Well, they might
actually they could, because they recorded on Thursday. Well, I guess we can't worry about being scooped by the SGU.
No, we cannot worry about such things. So the topic is Yellowstone Lake music.
Oh, Yellowstone!
Yeah, Yellowstone National Park, one of the most awesome places on Earth.
I was just about to say how special it is to us, but then I realized that it's special to half of America. In fact, probably all of America.
It's pretty much special to anyone who goes there because it's a special place.
If you haven't been, go.
Yeah. So here, I'm going to give a quick overview of what's going on, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty details, and it should be fun. Shall we?
Let's do it.
So, Yellowstone National Park, I am not going to describe. If you've never heard of it and don't know anything about it, stop listening right now and go read about it and then come back.
Or just go before it all falls into a caldera.
So, in the 19th century, when the Yellowstone was first discovered, quote, unquote, by Europeans, the descriptions that people sent back about what they found there were just insane and no one believed them. But then slowly people started going out there and exploring and blah, blah, blah. And in those early days, amongst all the crazy reports going back east, there were some reports of strange sounds heard around Yellowstone Lake and nearby Shoshone Lake.
Wait, it just doesn't seem surprising that in a place where there are geysers and bubbling, that there would be
you're giving
strange
away the punchline.
Sounds.
Yeah,
I am. Oh, I, no, I don't even see. I haven't. Matthew's doing all the groundwork on this story because I've been getting ready to go to France and other things. So sorry, I didn't mean to scoop.
There isn't actually a punchline. I'll just say this is not a skeptical tale that ends with a nice pat. Here's what is actually happening thing. This is something that's not quite explained. We don't know quite what is going on, but I find it's just a fascinating thing to look at from a skeptical angle. That's the whole overall story, which I'm in the middle of telling.
All right, go ahead.
If I can, yeah. So amongst the reports, there were a couple of reports of these strange sounds. Then as more and more people went, it became very quickly a tourist destination. The stories of the strange sounds got fewer and fewer and then eventually disappeared in the 30s or so. And then pretty much nothing. Decades went by. There were I found one or two references to it. Just sort of vaguely off into the... anyway, pretty much disappears.
It's no longer a trend.
Yeah, exactly. It disappears up until about a week ago. And as regular listeners will remember, and people who aren't regular listeners maybe have noticed, there's this whole sky noises phenom going on right now. So I guess and
the trumpets
people,
and the monkeys and the
right
apocalypse.
The monkeys and the trumpets and the monkeys and I guess a couple of people in doing little searches on strange noises and stuff, a couple of people came across these old accounts from Yellowstone. And then enter into the picture our friend Ruffin Prevost, who writes for the website YellowstoneGate.com.
Yellowstone Gate?
Yeah, Yellowstone Gate. Yellowstone has a
not
famous
Yellowstone
gate.
Gate, but
no, Yellowstone Gate.
Oh, it is gate. Yellowstone Gate, not like Watergate.
No, not oh, yeah, Yellowstone. Yeah, that's right. That's this one already has. It's, this is Yellowstone Gate Gate. That's what this is.
We just have to find the erased tapes.
So he writes for this blog, which is or sort of a news site about Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park, which is nearby, and news and various tidbits and such. So he came across these old stories, and he wrote a post about it, and it has exploded. So, just after decades, essentially decades and decades of the, of being a dead meme, we now have, just in the past couple of days, the internet exploding with references to this, and then, of course, crazy interpretations and a hyperbole. And this is the story. That's the short version, which took like 20 minutes. I'm sorry. Now we're going to do the long version, which is going to be 20. No. So let's go back. Let's start with the old days. These first descriptions of these sounds. Now, these were written by sort of travelers and scientists. When I say travelers, I mean like explorers. These are the, like the first people that are checking out.
So not tourists.
Not technically, no. These first ones, I think they're all scientists and explorers and trappers and such. Now, back... you have to remember, these people, these are the people that are describing Yellowstone for the first time. Now, Yellowstone is just this insane place.
And Coulter's hell.
Coulter's hell, exactly. Amongst all the descriptions, they mention, some of them mention this sound. Now, the most hyperbolic any of them get, but this is back in like 1870s, 80s, and 90s, right? The most hyperbolic any of them get is someone said that they are remarkable celestial sounds of unknown and unexplained origin.
Mm.
So that's as crazy as the explanations got.
Celestial.
And then in, for instance, in 1872,
someone said, described them as between a whistle and a hoarse whine. That's a horse, not like a horse is when you write, exactly. Right.
Then in 1890, someone said it was rather indefinite, reverberating sound characterized by a slight metallic resonance.
And in 1895, they resemble the ringing of telegraph wires or the humming of a swarm of bees. We don't even know what a telegraph wire sounds like anymore.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Let's see, there's another one, vibrating clang of a harp lightly and rapidly touched.
Similar to human voices.
The sound of metal cables crashing against each other.
And a low roar which gradually became louder and rose in pitch.
So that's a little sampling of, actually, that's... As far as I could tell, that's pretty much all the early descriptions of the sound.
Those are widely varied.
Right. That was going to be my first point, is that they're in one of the craziest places on Earth. They have all presumably...
With like geysers and pools of bubbling water and air, hot air being forced out of the Earth. And
yeah. And then some of them probably have read some of these other descriptions and know that there's a strange sound or whatever. Anyway, they're very, very different, descriptions. Now, the one thing that... there is in common, you may have noticed, is that several of them mention, compare it to some sort of metallic something, like the metallic resonance. I don't know what the ringing of telegraph wires sounds like.
The same person says, or the humming of a swarm of bees. So maybe right. Kind of like electronic.
I guess, but even the humming of a swarm of bees, like besides movies, I'm not sure I know what that sounds like either. I mean, I've been stung by plenty of bees, but not by a swarm. Anyway, but nevertheless, there's also the sound of metal cables, and so it seems reasonable to me that, and these are all coming from the same general area in the park too, so it does seem reasonable to me that there is some particular sound that several of them are reporting. Others of these descriptions, there's no reason to believe that it's actually the same sound that they're reporting. Does that sound reasonable?
I guess that I could reconcile all of those in my mind I mean, I could imagine a sound that could be described in all of those ways if it were a little varying, like the last person who said it became gradually louder and rose in pitch. You know, if it's a continuous sort of humming sound, I mean, I could possibly reconcile them.
Right.
It's so hard to describe a sound, but they do vary widely. You'd have to take the similar to human voices as being like human voices singing or like growling or something.
Or no, it could be, you know, quietly chattering, and I don't know. Now, one of the things that people like to point out is that one of the descriptions, I don't have in my notes here which one actually it is, but one of the descriptions comes from a biologist, Edward Linton, writing in the journal Science in 1893.
Huh.
Now, as many of you know, journal Science is a very reputable journal. So, and he's a respected biologist that was there, you know, checking the place out. But what people gloss over, they take the sort of crazy explanations from his write-up, which we'll link to, of course, and they gloss over the fact that what he's doing is writing in the journal and saying, hey, I can't figure out what caused these sounds. Do any of you other scientists have an explanation? Mm. So, for instance, a quote that people gloss over is, I have a dim recollection of some legend of phantom huntsmen and a pack of ghostly but vocal hounds which haunt the sky of the Hartz Mountains. Can anyone tell me whether there is any natural phenomenon belonging to mountains or mountain lakes which could give foundation to such legend?
Wow, the first part of that quote could be taken so out of context and
right,
quoting
exactly.
The journal
so people
Science.
Like the first half of that, and then they don't like the second half, which is him saying, well, you know, this is going to be a natural explanation, so any help on what it might be? You know?
That is a great set of sentences to think about right there.
Now, and so, you know, once again, this is not, none of this is proof one way or the other of what the sounds are or aren't, but for me, it's just interesting of like, people sort of cite, you know, that, you know, well, he's this credible scientist talking about it, but he wasn't like up in arms freaking out about it. He was just saying, yeah, it was a weird sound. I don't know what caused it. I'm in this really weird place and there's a weird sound. Anyone have any ideas? It's like, that's pretty much. Nevertheless, there was apparently some weird sounds and there were various explanations.
Wait, I want to say something else about that combination of things.
Yeah.
He is already, it's already sort of a skeptical take. He's saying, he is implying that folk legends have natural explanations. We just haven't found them yet.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's almost in a way like referring to a folk legend as like perhaps evidence, anecdotal evidence from the past that others have heard this sound or others have, you know, it's like talking to, wait, what am I saying? I'm going to stop saying that. but yes, I agree.
I'm so glad you stopped saying that before I understood what you were saying.
Yeah, I never know when I edit these things whether to edit out the parts where I start talking and then I filter my own brain. But I figure since it's kind of a skeptical podcast.
Ooh, a brain filter.
Yeah, we should leave in the brain filters because that's part of, you know, thinking.
What were we saying?
I don't know.
Are we up to today yet?
We are not. We're still in the old days.
Oh.
So we're still in the old days where people posited, you know, a couple of explanations without really evidence. Just these are just sort of like people saying, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's this. Some of them include mild earthquakes, because Yellowstone is, there are tons of mild earthquakes all the time there. It's such a hot spot. Mild earthquakes with from sounds amplified in underground caverns. A common explanation was temperature inversions, which I'm not going to get into.
Mm.
And then some people said, well, it's probably the whistling of the wings of ducks.
What?
Which for me, that also points out like the kinds, like the sound we're talking about, some people didn't seem to think it's that extreme.
The whistling of the wings of ducks?
Yeah, exactly. So if like someone heard it and then they're like, well, maybe it's the sound, you know, ducks. It's probably not that crazy a sound.
Wait,
right?
I am desperately trying not to ask you what temperature inversion is. Is there like a quick explanation, or is it
no?
Is it geological?
I don't want to get into it because it's all it's.
Is it about rocks or about
no?
Plants?
It's about the climate there and about how you have different you can have different layers of temperature of air and that can cause odd echoes and it gets into a whole thing.
Okay,
which
right. it's about atmosphere, not about rocks or about plants.
No, but yeah, clearly the you know just sort of the. Most of the explanations are geologic in description because you're in fucking Yellowstone Park. Like, but
so
I
your
also,
point with all that is that people had various natural possible explanations for these sounds, and those varied as well.
Yes. Now, I wanted to contrast those, which are from the scientists and explorers and mappers and such. The sort of, well, shall we call them the educated bunch, trying to figure out what the sounds might be. I want to contrast that with that. There is in the Journal Science report, he does quote their guide when they ask, they talk to their guide about the sounds. Elwood Hoffer was the guide. And he did hear the sounds too, but I would best summarize his explanations as meh.
He said weird
first,
shit happens around here all the time.
Yeah, basically. You know, he said, well, maybe it's some wild beast.
Really?
And then another time he says, it's nothing at all. It's only a noise just, which I like.
It's
only a noise just.
Only a noise just.
And then he said that it reminded him of the noise made by the steam of the steamboat geyser, which is one of the geysers.
Oh, where there's
the
a geyser, right?
Yeah, and there are geysers all over the place. Yeah. So he, you know, so I found it interesting that the guide, who's the guy who presumably has spent more time there than the people he's guiding, he's just like, well, yeah, okay. Whatever.
It's a park full of geysers and cauldrons. And yeah, anyway, I've said that 3 times. Okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the old days summary. That's pretty much what happened back in the 1870s, 80s, and 90s. I did hear that there were some references to the sound or to odd sounds in the 10s, 20s, and early 30s, but I couldn't find them and I ran out of time. So,
and then there were motor cars, and it got too noisy for people to be able to hear these sounds. Is that possible?
Well, yeah. Let's come to the present day now. Now, once again, I just want to remind you: there's almost no mention of any of this for decades and decades and decades. And then enter Ruffin Prevost, who's the author of the article that has resurfaced all this stuff. The article, I recommend everyone read it. I find it interesting because he describes and quotes accurately, and I appreciate the fact that he provides actual links and citations and stuff in his article. So he accurately reports on these old descriptions of the odd sounds and such. But he's also, and I say this actually with nothing but respect, but he's also very careful in his article to not close any doors. It's very like he's basically sort of describing it, and then he reports on some other people saying, well, it could be this, could be this, and other people saying, well, it's crazy. And
he's like those ghost hunter shows on TV where they never actually see anything, but they never deny the possibility that there might be a ghost.
I wouldn't go as far as to say he's like those ghost shows on TV, because those are just utter crap, and that this is not. His article's fine. It's not a skeptical article. It's a reporting, right? So I contacted him just on a whim to see if he wanted to add anything, and told him we were going to talk about this, and he got back to me very nicely. He left a message on the monkey phone, which unfortunately got cut off, and then he sent me an email. We didn't have time to do any further interviews. So I'm going to play his call until it gets cut off, and then we'll tell you a little bit about what he says in his email. I think it's interesting, and for several reasons, you'll see why.
Hey, this is Ruffin Prevost, editor of YellowstoneGate.com, calling in about Yellowstone sky sounds around Lake Yellowstone and Shoshone Lake, dating back over 100 years in park folklore and history, that has been generating a lot of interest from the paranormal conspiracy skeptic communities. I first heard about this through some Google News alerts I have set up about Yellowstone that pointed to a few blogs that referenced early historical accounts of folks who had heard sounds in the sky around Yellowstone Lake. I kind of followed up on that. I also have a longstanding interest in conspiracy theories and paranormal. I used to run a website called Parascope, P-A-R-A-S-C-O-P-E, in the 90s, late 90s. And we covered cryptozoology, UFOs, conspiracy theories, all that kind of stuff. Some of the folks that wrote for us were fairly skeptical. Some were, I don't know, speculative futurists in the sci-fi realm, and some were true believers. And we had a good mix of different people kind of debating all of this on our site. It's been of cultural interest for me for a long time because what does it say about us, what we believe in and what we don't? So I just decided to write the story. I contacted the park historian Lee Whittlesey.
I feel like apologizing for the monkey phone. I don't know why it cut him off. It's supposed to have a longer limit.
Yeah, it is. So thanks again for calling, Ruffin.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And then after he got cut off, we had a little email back and forth, and I just want to read a couple of things he said. Now, I find his take interesting on it, not only because, like I say, like my whole interest in this is that basically we are seeing the development of this urban legend that, you know, this meme that had died out long ago is now bursting again. And it's traceable to this guy's article. It's basically this, his article is what has started it. And I think it's really, I think it's really interesting, not only that we know what started it, but that it started with an article written by someone who has an interest in the paranormal and has for a long time, but is also, very smart and looking at it pretty critically too. So that's why I want to sort of give him the floor here, as it were, for a minute.
You want me to read some of this since you've been doing most of the talking? All right, here's some things that he said in his ongoing email. Since posting this story, it has crossed my mind that there are no recordings of this sound. With portable tape recorders having been around for decades, it seems weird to me that no one has recorded it.
Yeah, and that sort of speaks to the fact that there were a couple of people who reported these odd sounds, and then the more and more people that came to the park, the fewer reports of the sounds there were, and by the time people are walking around with recording devices all the time, it's just no one has apparently heard anything. And I've heard some speculation that, like, maybe people are, modern people are too afraid to report the odd sound because they might get ridiculed. But I honestly do not find that convincing, especially in a place like Yellowstone, where you see, I have an anecdote about that, which is that I was in Yellowstone years ago. I was in Yellowstone with my family and I heard this crazy sound and I didn't know what the hell it was. And I freaked out and I started like babbling to my family about this crazy sound. We heard it again. It turned out to be an owl. There was an owl in a nearby tree. But you know, I wasn't
the culprit in many a monster sighting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was probably like, I don't know, 16 or 7. I don't remember how old I was, but there was no hesitation on my part about reporting the odd sound.
No.
I was excited.
Please, no one's going to hesitate.
Let's see. What else does he say?
None of my local readers has written in to tell me, oh yeah, I've heard that. Not even old timers who might have heard it as kids. And I actually have quite a few old timers who read Yellowstone News online.
Yeah, so once again, he's writing this article and citing these decades old descriptions. But meanwhile, all the people that are, there's
lots of people go and hang out at those lakes and nobody wrote in to say they've heard it.
Right. And we'll come back to the idea that the sound has just disappeared because that is of interest too. But so let's see what else.
Okay.
Yeah.
My personal theory is it's somehow related to seismology and the unique and complex underground geology in the park. That would be basically a no duh.
Right, and then he says what we just said, that he's wondering why did this sound stop, or why haven't we heard it in decades? Now, and then he gives a good description of a sort of basic description of the thermal features. You want to read that one?
Yeah. Throughout the park, the complex system of water-fed thermal features is constantly changing. It depends on water tables, drought tables, the movement of fault lines that lie under the park, and a bunch of other complex and interrelated factors. It's totally plausible to me that if the sound was produced by some thermal feature, then, as happened in the intervening years with many other thermal features, the conditions that produced it have changed, either causing the sound to cease or to be so infrequent as to go unreported. I guess that's a lot of complex factors to buy into when I started out with Occam's razor, but it makes more sense to me than many of the other potential explanations I've heard from readers since posting this story.
Which we will get to in a minute. I just thought that was... one thing is not drought tables, but drought cycles. But...
drought cycles. Yes.
Yeah. So that's his take on it, and I think those are all really good points. We now should get to what people are saying today, and I think it's a really stark contrast to what was said back when people, you know, actually heard the sounds that people are talking about and described them in those, you know, pretty
as
mellow,
telegraph wires.
Yeah,
and,
pretty mellow tones. Now. The hyperbole now on the web of people linking to the story and going crazy about it is quite different. We have things like crystal clear harps harmonizing on the wind with trumpets and horns serenading you from the skies.
Or this one. The noise they hear is spanning across from the spirit realm. It is the spirit community they hear.
Yeah. And then, of course, vibratory crystals.
Or God's special music.
And dimensional portals.
Wow. Paranormal voices summoned to the area by forces more ancient than humanity's memory can reach.
Individuals involved often report feeling ill at ease when the mysterious whispering wafts over the hilltops.
Or the work of some ancient civilization that once existed around Yellowstone.
And, of course, ghosts of those who have drowned in the lake. Now,
wait a second. If these are modern times, then and no one's heard the sound, it's kind of like these people are writing these descriptions without ever having heard the sounds themselves.
That's what I was about to say, is that all of those descriptions we just read are written by people not who have heard the sounds. These are people that have read the same article that we've been talking about the whole time, with the same quotes that we mentioned earlier on. This is all, and that's why this is so fascinating, is that just in a matter of days, we have this, like, development of the story, this extrapolation and this embellishment, and it's fascinating to watch. And you see websites, like some websites link to his original story and then add adjectives and sentences and such, and then other websites link to that website and add their own stuff, and it's all happening right now.
Wow.
I wanted to end out by with just sort of an overview of what we've basically been saying, which is that with this unknown sounds at Yellowstone and Shoshone Lakes, in the early days you had a couple of people. They were exploring one of the strangest, weirdest places on the planet.
In which there are all kinds of strange seismological and geological sounds that you wouldn't hear anywhere else.
Yeah, and they heard a sound that they couldn't identify. And then, as the years...
In a place where there were all kinds of things that they had never seen before or heard.
Yeah, and as the years went by and more people came, there were fewer and fewer and fewer references to any strange sounds
in this particular location.
And then by the time there's like recording technology is just prevalent, there's no reports of it at all. No one's recorded these sounds. Nothing.
Or it's not loud enough for people to notice with
right.
their
and that,
modern
and then,
ears.
At this point, literally millions of people a year go there. And
with their iPhones and their Androids and their Blackberries.
Now, I want to quickly, before people start yelling at the speakers or their earbuds, don't yell at your own earbuds, though, because that's kind of weird. there was another point that Ruffin Prevost made, which he alluded to, but I want to reiterate that it is entirely possible that there was something making a really weird sound that has changed, and that actually the reason fewer and fewer people reported it is that it's actually just not happening anymore, mm-hmm. right? But I actually agree with him that I think that that's actually the most likely explanation, is that there was a weird sound, they didn't know what made it, and that as the park has changed, and the park is constantly changing, that sound is not really being made anymore.
As he pointed out, there are all kinds of other features that are more visible and easily explainable that have also changed. Geysers have stopped.
Right. And it's another distinct possibility is that it was a sound which at the time to them was really weird, but now for whatever reason, knowledge of education, knowledge about geysers and pots, and that it just actually doesn't sound weird anymore.
Or it's possible that it really sounded like the humming of electrical wires, and that's what everybody thinks it is, or that they don't even hear it because it's all around us. Right. That's another possible explanation.
But the long and short of it is, and I just can't help but say that there's just no reason to think that a sound that a couple of people didn't know what was over 100 years ago implies anything other than it was an unidentified sound in one of the strangest places on the planet.
Unless you just desperately want to think that the spirits are communicating and you look for any anomaly and you label it spirit or godly or paranormal.
Yeah.
In that case, well, it's rife material.
Right. Have fun.
Because it actually hasn't been explained.
But at the same time, I do also want to end with the lesson for skeptics.
Wait, did I just leave the door open for paranormal people to believe that this is spirit noises?
Oh, yeah, look. Listen, they're outside the door right now. They're coming in. You left the door open. No, I wanted to end with a point that Ruffin made in an email to me, which I think is a really good lesson for skeptics, which is just simply the fact that the first white people that reported that went to Yellowstone came back east, and they described this hellish place where mud spewed out of the earth, and the smell of sulfur was everywhere, and
no
and
one
water
believed
was
half
blown
the reports
up in the air, and there's red and orange colors all over the landscape, and they described all this crazy stuff, and people did not believe them. Everyone thought that they were out of their minds, or that maybe they walked through a part of, maybe they were eating some of those special mushrooms that everyone's talking about.
Or they were trying to perpetuate a scam.
They described all these things, and all the skeptics, people like us at the time, were like, yeah, right. And it turned out that almost everything that they described was true. Now, so that's a good lesson, too. Now, of course, what actually happened was that then there was actually evidence for all the things that people said, all the insane, amazing things people were describing, are actually there.
Yeah, I think a few videos have been taken now.
Yeah,
Yellowstone.
But those videos, they could fake them, if you don't go to Yellowstone, then
it's all done on a soundstage in Hollywood.
Can you prove that there are geysers in Yellowstone right now? So I'm going to be very interested to see if this takes off anymore, whether it becomes a major part or if it continues to be part of the sky noise phenom meme, whether it gets dropped. It's going to be really fun to see. It certainly in the past couple of days has been exploding.
I bet there's somebody now at Yellowstone staking out that lake and recording everything.
Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see if we get a hoax video sometime soon from Yellowstone. I bet that's going to happen. So that's pretty much it, right?
That's pretty much it.
All right. Thanks for listening to Scopes Monkey Choir.
Oh, from scopesmonkeychoir.com. Oh, thank you, Mr. Prevo.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate it.
We are professional musicians, not scientists. If you doubt something we've said, don't believe us. Look it up yourself.
Nevertheless, each episode page at scopesmonkeychoir.com has references and citations.
We love feedback. Write to scopesmonkeychoir@gmail.com or call the monkey phone and leave a message.
347-788-0330. Leave us a review on iTunes.
I tweet at Squidocto occasionally.
I tweet at Scopes Monkeys. And I'm going to be in Paris tomorrow. If anyone wants to write to me and have coffee, I'll be in Montpellier the next week and in Italy the week after that. Bye.
Bye.